practice of mediumship is often considered a channel to spirit. What if this channel existed within each of us and could be accessed by removing dismissive inner dialogue such as self-doubt? What if this was one of the first steps towards learning to decipher the vocabulary of our intuition? Sean Leonard believes the channel to spirit is an intrinsic ability that exists within each of us. Sean is a medium and the host of the television series Spirit Talker on the Aboriginal People's Television Network. He is also the author of The Language of Spirit. Sean has over two decades of experience providing therapeutic assistance through spirit communication and connection. In this episode of NT&B, we discuss the potentials of mediumship as a therapeutic tool. Sean shares his experiences using this field of healing to benefit individuals transitioning through grief and loss, or those who may be looking for a broader perspective on what life has to offer us. When someone approaches you and they're looking for information, what would you say that you're commonly asked?
When I do my sessions, I usually come in and have people sit down and explain what I'm going to do, how the process works, and then I usually just get into what I'm doing. When I receive information from spirit, whether it's through, you know, the language that I believe that they use to communicate through a person like myself, like clairvoyance, clairsentience, clairaudience, claircognizance, that I usually just need validation from what comes through me. I just ask people to yes or no, or if they want to elaborate on something that I've said that makes sense when I say it, then it's okay. I'd rather it come from spirit, because usually when I work with spirit, spirit knows what the client or sitter needs to hear, to receive, to help them to move through their grief or through their healing process because of loss.
Basically, spirit has a message for them, and it's not really so much about what they're looking to hear or what they're coming to you for. It's what they need to know when they need to know it in the moment when you're with them.
Right. I mean, usually what comes through is what they were going to ask anyway, or what they want to know about. The information that would come through a session like myself, it's real. Most of it is validation, knowing that your loved one is okay, they're with you, they're around you, they're communicating, knowing what you're struggling with, whether you had to leave the room at the last minute before your mom passed away, or that, you know, the issue with the will is being dealt with properly or improperly, or that the property should be dealt with in this way, and they see that it hasn't, and knowing that it's causing family drama or issues. So it depends really, you know, on the particular person and the message that's coming through from spirit. That's how I give it. And usually what's coming through is what they need, but it's also what they are struggling with.
Right. It's the synchronicity of it.
Right.
How old were you when you sort of started relaying information to people and realized you were helping them in some manner?
Yeah. In my 20s. So it's been, you know, 20 some years.
The initial experiences where you first started to realize sort of what was going on, what did you learn from that experience? Did you have sort of an epiphany that this was what you should be doing?
Well, I did and I didn't. I believe that we all have a purpose in life and something that we have a calling for in some sense. I mean, something that you feel like you would like to do over something else. The first real connection of spirit that I had was with my own father. I was 16 years old. My dad had just passed away. And after he passed, I had a visitation dream with my dad. And I saw the light. He was wearing a long white robe, and it was kind of like surreal. But it was real, but, I wasn't physically there, but in my spirit, in my dream, I was there. And I got to see the light that was behind him, and I got to feel what it feels like to be where he is. It was, like, very overwhelming. And it was my father that gave me that first clue as to maybe there was a bigger reason in life why things were happening the way they did. And with my father passing, I mean, I was like, when I saw him, I was more elated that I actually saw him. And then I was speaking to him, and I could feel his energy and his spirit. But he, you know, he said there were, you know, he told me, he said, there's a reason why I left your life. And I didn't understand. He says, we all have a purpose. We have a time to be here, time to go home to the spirit world. And he said, it was my time to go home. And he says, the biggest reason for me going was you. And I said, I don't get this. And he says, the greatest gift of love I could ever give you was leave this world so that you could see the light and be the man that you're meant to be. And I'm like, what does that mean? And he said, you're going to be helping people one day. He says, you're not going to understand this, but you're going to be helping people understand where we are, where we go, and where we come from. And I said, how is this supposed to happen? And he says, you don't have to do anything. It's going to happen. Sounded like Yoda from Star Wars. And I thought, this is like ridiculous. Like, and then he says, you need to tell your mom I'm okay. You need to tell your brother I'm okay. And I, even myself, when I saw the light, I became so fixated and so overwhelmed that I would have left in a second to go there myself if I could. He wouldn't let me go. And he says, you have so much more life to live, and you have so much more to do. And then I woke up, and it was like the most profound visual experience in a dream I've ever had that felt realer than real. I don't know how else to describe that. And then life unfolded. Like, I got married and had a few children, and around the time I was having children, because my oldest is 23, I started to experience things where I would know things. Or my intuition was like heightened, like super heightened. And things were predictable sometimes for me. People were predictable. Situations were predictable. It became very different. And things were like that to some degree, but never any more than then. So I was doing more spiritual things like meditating and praying. I was becoming more spiritual. And it's a little scary for me, but if you don't know, then I know it's coming from somewhere and it's not coming from you. Mm-hmm. And that's when I really, that was the moment that, like, almost the epiphany of my life as to shift me from thinking that maybe this isn't real to that I know this is real now. Mm-hmm. And then I started to trust everything. I started to see more things and feel things and sense things. And then I stopped doubting. And I left, my doubt had left me. And then the more I trusted and allowed this to flow through me and come to me and open my mind so that it's possible, the more valid it was, the more things happened that, you know, nobody could possibly know. Mm. I mean, and I see silly things sometimes. I just did a show in Wolfville, Nova Scotia, and there was like 270 people there. And I'm reading people randomly in the audience, and I was reading this one lady, and I was connecting to her mom, and it was kind of a silly story, actually. But her mom showed me that her Christmas tree that she just put up that morning was crooked. But really crooked. And I said, listen, your mom's telling me she's hanging out with you. She wants to validate that you put your tree up today. And your tree is leaning very far to one side. And I think it's going to fall over. And she laughed. And she says, I did. I put it up today. And she says, I even decorated it. But it is really leaning over. She says, but I thought I'll fix it tomorrow. Well, when she went home after the event at 2:30 in the morning, the tree fell over. So why would her mom say something like that? Well, not to scare her. Like, she's not haunting her. She loves her. She's spending time with her. She knows what she's doing in her life. She knows what's happening, and she wants to give me something, even though it's silly or crazy, to give her, like, a piece of information that she would only know.
Well, I think that's the beauty of spirit. There's a certain element of just having a human mind and just the way that we're wired. It seems when we're in this life that we need validation for things like that. Otherwise, we're not able to open up and receive the information we need.
Right. And then, I mean, when I do the work I do, whether it's one-on-one or I'm leaning more towards, like, public things now because I can reach more people in a sense, because even if you don't have a personal experience, you get to see the experience happening for others. But a lot of people are coming to see me or see my shows is because it validates their faith. It validates their belief in something bigger and greater. It validates that we live beyond this time and this existence. We all want to know that our people are okay, that we have a place to go, and that, you know, life doesn't cease to exist, that there's a bigger picture, much bigger than what the life that we're living and the one that we're in right now.
Would you say that what you're providing for people is a therapeutic activity?
Oh, absolutely. What comes from this? I mean, there's a lot of things that can come from this, but absolute, like, healing, seeing people heal and recover and overcome grief. I probably have about 8 or 9 psychologists that reference me. And I have one office. I've seen all of the psychologists have come to me as clients. And I have a psychology professor from Dalhousie that sees me personally. They see the therapeutic connection and as an assisted thing to their own therapy they're receiving from their psychologist, depending on what they're struggling with, right? Especially if it is grief related or the loss of a person or somebody that's special in your life and they're stuck in some way energetically. I'm surprised a bit because, I mean, I know I've helped them in their own issues of life and grief and such, but I'm really surprised that they are, like, giving my name to other people, which it makes me feel good. It makes me realize that the value of my work is greater than I even know. And they must see the value in the work that I do as well, as helping people, assisting people heal and overcome blocks in their life. So
it's a lot of grief counseling, would you say, people who have lost a loved one?
Mostly, yeah. Probably about 90% of why people come to me is like through grief work or grief and loss.
And what has been the transformation you've noticed?
Oh, I mean, it's phenomenal. I receive messages all the day. I mean, like the lady that sent me the message just about the tree falling over the day after it happened. I mean, she was having a hard time even just celebrating Christmas, just knowing that, you know, she felt happier and joy. And she's like now decorating her whole house. She's like going over the top. It's like remove some kind of, you know, grief that she was still carrying even on just a little bit, right?
Right, because we develop that energetic block when we're in grief.
Right. And then there's other people. Some people bring their mom who's really stuck in their grief because of the loss of their mother or their husband or their father or whoever. Again, haven't been happy in years. And then after coming to see me, they're living life more vigorously. They're living more wholly and they're more present and they're more social. They're living their life.
That's lovely. So you would say probably you're providing a perspective or a clarity or possibly objectivity for these people that they needed to hear?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I do what I do. I wouldn't do this if it wasn't helping people or I didn't feel like it was in service. I used to work in many different jobs and I was making a fairly good living in all of them. But I feel a calling to helping people, to be in service to people and help people heal through this format. Obviously, the creator, whatever word you want to use to call the creator, whether it's God, the Great Spirit, or I like to use the word the Great Spirit or creator, but has, you know, an intention for all of us in one way or another, how we could be in service for another person. And I just feel that this is, in a sense, my calling to work and help people and bring healing and joy. And I feel very honored to be able to do this work.
Do you believe that we're all able to sort of hear our own personal guidance, whether it's spirit or, as you say, however you want to refer to it? So do you think we can all hear that?
Absolutely, we all can. I believe we're all connected to the same source. No matter what your faith is or belief is, we're connected to the same place, same source, our ancestors. But a lot of people don't listen. A lot of people don't know how to listen. And then when they do listen, they doubt what they get or they doubt what they receive or they get in their way. They're skeptical of themselves. They're skeptical of their experiences. And we can brush things off as, oh, that's just a coincidence. But I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in, you know, coincidence, really, if you break the word down, it's something that coincides. It means it's meant to go together for a purpose or intention, if you even look that description up in the dictionary. But we've like changed it into something that is random. It's not possible that it's connected, right? And I think when you become more aware, more spiritual, more open, you start to see those more even greater in your life. And it could guide you in some ways. It could be a message that, I mean, you know, I'd like to say people don't need me, but, you know, I can help, but you shouldn't need me all the time. You know, you should be still living your life, but living it differently because of the experience.
Exactly. So would you say that everyone has a specific way of channeling? Because we're all wired in a slightly different way. So writing, yoga, walking, singing, like people have all sorts of ways of becoming at peace with themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, there's different things for different people to help ourselves be grounded or spiritually well or, you know, feel healthy and balanced and, you know, yoga or walking or even doing like traditional native cultural things. All those things, depending what fits for you. I mean, it could be Catholicism. As long as it can brings you joy and brings you peace and without any like fear or guilt or being judgmental, then I think to me that's a healthy spirituality, whatever it is that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way spirit connects to us all, like I said, could be a sign, it could be a dream, it could be a feeling, it could be a thought. And I think this is what most people receive, is that we receive thoughts of people that we love. And it's just subtly. And I know I've learned to pay attention to my own thoughts about what comes into my mind of what I see or what I sense. And when it comes to my loved ones that are no longer physically here, it's those thoughts, those memories that pop into my mind randomly for whatever reason. And I have, instead of like feeling like my loved one is separate of me, I feel like I have a relationship with them and where, you know, I love them where they are. So I have a relationship with them where they are. If they're in spirit, that's where my relationship is with that person. And I think, you know, we all have that ability to do that. And it doesn't matter who you are or what you do or what practice you have. We all have thoughts that come into our mind, and all of us will think of the people that we love randomly here and there, and it could be a happy memory, sad memory, but yet it is a memory. And from my experience, any moment that you have a memory of your people, they're connected to you. They're aware that you're thinking about them. They're around you. Even if you don't know they're there, whether it's a Christmas tree falling down or it's leaning or whatever, they're around you. Even if you sometimes don't know they're there, they are there.
Yeah, I would say that this is probably an example of unconditional love, because you can be connected to the person whether they're in the physical or not.
Right.
When you don't have your grief blocking it, you're able to get those images without all of the sadness that you might be projecting upon it.
Right, because, I mean, it's a lower level energy. When you're stuck in certain energies, right, whether it's grief or despair or depression, it drags you down, it pulls you down, and it kind of blocks your, it kind of, like, limits your ability to live wholly or more present or fully or, you know, engaged in life sometimes. And when you can help a person move through all those things, and they're able to have a more greater personal experience themselves.
Right. So do you believe that we can begin healing ourselves by listening to ourselves?
Yeah.
So anyone who might begin the process of sort of listening to themselves or hearing their own guidance, what would you suggest they start by doing?
Well, I would say recognize how they feel. You know, what are they struggling with within themselves right now? Where there's like, do they have anger? Do they have fear? Do they have a block? I mean, look at the things that they feel like that are limiting them, and then work on those things. Work on those things in all ways, not just one way, but always. Work on yourself for wellness and health, you know, health and well-being. It could be grief, it could be other things, but whatever it is, you know, what you feel is like dragging you down or your hardship, then, you know, work on your things to lift yourself out of that darkness, per se, into more of a light-lived life.
And for you personally, now you mentioned claircognizance, clairaudience, I don't know if you mentioned audience, but there's that as well.
Yeah.
How does your internal or spirit nudge sound or feel to you? You sort of touched on that briefly before.
Well, clairvoyance is like, I kind of talked to you about clairvoyance. Clairvoyance is like seeing spirits, like, and that's where when I see spirit, it's not something I see with my eyes, per se. That doesn't mean I haven't seen spirit with my eyes, but so that's how I mostly see spirit is in my mind's eye, my clairvoyant abilities in that sense. And instead of being a memory or anything, it gets shoved in there. It gets pushed in there very briefly and quickly. Clairsentience is like more sensing things, feeling things. It's the ability to pick things up with from people in a sense of like feeling their energy. But you can also feel it from spirit. So when you connect to a spirit in the spirit world, I can feel things about them, their personality, who they are, by feeling them as well. And that feeling, even how they show me the things that they do. I mean, this is a little bit deeper than probably most people comprehend, but the majority of the language is like seeing and feeling to me. It's not a whole lot of words. There's some words. Let's say 10% of the time when they do speak to me, it's very simple things. It's usually like a name, date, time, or sometimes a sentence. But it's mostly the images that I see, and I know what they're trying to say by the images that they show me. It's like I have my own vocabulary, right? I've developed a vocabulary over the years. And everybody who ever does this work, I think, has their own vocabulary as well. And you know, when you see this, you know what means that, and et cetera. But for clairsentience, it's just feeling them. And I can often, when I connect to people in spirit, when they're around me, and this is how they validate sometimes with things that I could not know, I will feel a person that is in spirit, but I also feel like what caused them the past. I feel like things about what they went through in life on my physical body. I will feel it on my own body for a moment. And for example, I had a lady to see me, and she had come to me for an appointment, and she brought her daughters, and I was connecting to her husband who passed away. But on my index finger, between my knuckle and the tip, I felt my finger, you know, like there was like a little something inside my finger. And when I was connecting to her husband, I kept feeling this like spot. I said, this is really odd. I mean, this is not like a cancer or anything like that, but I can feel this spot. And she goes, oh my God, my husband had a piece of lead in his finger in that spot exactly for most of his life. So why would they again tell me something like that? Not to scare her. It's more validation that nobody knows this. The daughters didn't even know this. But it's something that happened to him, and he complained about often to her. Now, does he still have a piece of lead in his finger? No. But she would remember that he had one there. And I feel different things. If somebody had died of breast cancer and they're telling me about their process, I'd actually feel a lump in my own breast for a second. And then another story. This is two friends actually came about 4 or 5 months ago. And I was talking, they both had moms that were passed. And when I was talking to the one mom, Now, mind you, I'm a man, and I don't have ovaries, but my right ovary was really hurting. So when I told the lady, she goes, oh, my God, my mom didn't pass ovarian cancer. She says, but I'm actually scheduled to have my right ovary removed in a month. And she's going for surgery herself. And she was having her right ovary removed. So why would mom tell me about this? Because even though I was feeling it on my own body, there's a message here. There's like a message of hope and healing. Because the mom would come through and say, well, one, she's going to be okay. She's going to be with her through that process. I didn't feel any other issues anywhere else except in that one spot, which means to me if they take that out, she's going to be fine. So that's how I would deliver that message. And because she's shitting bricks over it. She's scared.
Yeah.
Right? So she's scared. And, you know, mom doesn't want her to be scared. Mom's going to be with her. If she was here physically, she'd be with her there holding her hand for the whole time. Now she's just doing it in different form. She's just doing it from the spirit world. That's clairsentience. That's like feeling things, sensing things, feeling things in my own body. And now clairaudience is like where I talk to you about the voice in the head, where I hear things. I'll hear a name, I'll hear a date or things like that. It's very brief, but it's just a little more of like if you could count from 1 to 10 in your own mind and hear your own voice. Imagine there was another little voice in your own mind that would say something very briefly and quietly, but it would say, hey, I'm Aunt Betsy Sue or you know, I'm Uncle Mike or whatever. And then it would be just like quick in my own mind, right? Mm-hmm. But and then when they do say this, they may say, I love you. I mean, one fellow I was talking to yesterday kept saying he was cranky. He was cranky and he was moody and he said those words and he was apologizing now. But he was really telling me how stuck he was in his life because of the energy that he held. And he didn't really get this until the end of his life. And he expressed to everyone before he died the exact same message that I was coming through with. He was like reiterating what he had learned before he died. He still felt the same way. Because he lived his life kind of a cranky fellow, a bit moody. And then, you know, it was the last year of his cancer that he actually figured out that he was like, you know, he was sweating the small stuff all the time and he shouldn't have been. And he learned to live more as he was dying in the last year of his life of cancer, that he learned to live his life in a way that was from love and family and it was joy. And he let go of his crankiness and his moodiness.
I think that's very inspiring in itself. Even if it's not something that you hear about yourself personally, to hear somebody else's story is quite illuminating.
Right. This was good for the client because, I mean, she knows this story, but for him to say it in the way that he did and the way he showed me, and it was just cementing. I mean, he's still the same person.
When you're perceiving something for yourself, I guess, suppose in the beginning, because as you say, you develop a language after time, how do you differentiate from, say, anxiety or fear and an actual clairsentience where you're getting information?
Well, because things from spirit come from a loving place. I don't get anything from other than that spaces, other than from love. Like I feel it from love. I feel unconditional joy and love when I receive it. I don't feel anything negative at all. Mm-hmm. If I feel something from a client or sitter or somebody that I'm with around, I mean, I can feel their fear, their worry, their anxiety. I can feel that coming from the physical person. But when I receive a message, it doesn't come from that space and place. When I do my sessions in my office, you know, every person that comes to me is in a good space in spirit world. But now there's other spirits out there that sometimes have not moved on, or there's ghosts out there that they still have that element of ego where they're still living in fear or a blockage, and they're in the spirit world. They just haven't moved into the light. That's how I like to say it. But there are some spirits out there, even spirits sometimes can get blocked. But typically, they would be in their home. They'd be on the property. They'd be where they were last at, or wherever they died, or wherever they feel comfortable at. And I've run into some of these people. It's very rare, actually. I feel it's like almost, it's not, I mean, I know on TV they kind of try to make it look like there's like ghosts everywhere. I believe that's not the truth. I believe probably 99.99% of everybody that moves into, when they die, they make it to where they need to go. But occasionally there's a person I run into that has not moved on in spirit and for whatever block that they have. And if I run into a person like that, I would try to help heal that spirit to move into where the space that they need to be.
Do you have a certain approach that you take nutritionally or physically?
Right now, I'm eating keto.
Okay.
But that's because I got to lose 20-some pounds. I'm filming my TV show here. And I need to lose a little bit of weight.
So this is an aesthetic and cosmetic thing, not so much an inner voice thing.
No. Otherwise, I love my sugar cookies and coffee. You know, I'm I'm like everyone else. Like, I try to eat healthy. I do. I try to eat healthy, but, you know, I still have, like, a craving like everyone else. A piece of chocolate here and there, and I try not to be too bad, but occasionally it might slip away on me. But do I feel it has anything to do with my energy? Yeah, absolutely it does. Okay. I mean, if you eat really good energetic food, it's going to help you energetically in life. You're going to feel you have more energy. I'll be more, probably more connected than I ever am. But, you know, I still do pretty good when I'm not so energetically, like, eating the best that I can. But I feel optimal when I am eating well.
Okay. That's gratifying right. to know, I'm sure.
I'm still human, you know. I'm not a monk sitting on a hill, like, chanting and, you know, eating only mushrooms or anything like that.
No, but, okay. No flying yogi for you, then.
No, not at all. Do I get out in nature? Do I like to go for walks and ground myself, get out by the ocean? Like, I have my own, like, personal spiritual spaces. It's my church. It's my place, my sacred space and places to go to just be present, mindful.
Do you do meditation regularly?
I do it every day, yeah. And sometimes many a day, like usually for very brief ones. Before I do any of my work, I always do like a chakra where I raise my energy up through my chakras. And then when I'm done, I will diminish the light of my chakras and bring my energy down and ground myself so that I'm not walking around really super sensitive all the time.
Mm-hmm. And you find that meditation is good for sort of lifting you up, but also grounding you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You can, depending how you utilize it, right, you can use it for both. If I find I'm struggling with something in life and I find I'm dwelling on it, I will often, you know, practice just mindful meditation and just being present and focusing on my breath or being in the room or being at the ocean or on my walk or wherever that may be. But I have my own kind of personal ways of dealing with, like, life in general. And I do sit, you know, I do, when I have clients that I feel like are struggling in some areas, I do offer suggestions of what they could also be doing to help themselves.
You would suggest a certain geographical points, like you mentioned the water and you mentioned going outside for grounding. Being in touch with nature is obviously important.
Most people don't even spend time in the forest or the woods anymore. And I mean, the color green in itself is a healing color. Mm-hmm. And it's a heart chakra and it's very healing. And, you know, when you can be surrounded by it abundantly in the woods or the forest, or I think it does have a healing effect and a grounding effect on our energies. And I don't think enough people utilize that, so I do usually recommend that. Or being out near the ocean, because, you know, this salt air does ionize, like, energy. So I think it grounds us a bit, too. So I often tell two places I'll say is either go for a walk on a, you know, in a forest somewhere on a path. And not doesn't have to be very far, just 3, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, or the same for the ocean.
So your book is called The Language of Spirit?
Yes, The Language of Spirit, which goes very depth into that whole process.
And you've been hosting, would you call them a series of events?
Right? Yeah, I call them events. I do. I do, like, and I go to different places. And right now I'm booked for a show with APTN, and they'll be filmed for the show called Spirit Talker. APTN is the Aboriginal People's Television Network, and it's a free channel to everyone across Canada.
Because of the culture that you were immersed in, it's very connected to the land. It's very much part of the cycles. There's a lovely spirituality that's present at all times. I'm just wondering, would you say that made this an easier transition for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was raised Catholic. I was my mom had me baptized. I did confirmation, went to Sunday school. I did the whole thing. But a lot of Indigenous people were raised Catholic as well. But my grandma, Mi'kmaq from Newfoundland, you know, when she was growing up, it was a Mi'kmaq community, and, you know, a lot of those traditional teachings and spiritual teachings were being taken away from the Mi'kmaq people and were lost a bit, and my grandma lost her culture. So since maturing as an older person myself and learning about my own Indigenous person, I've been interested in Indigenous spirituality and learning more about that and being more connected. And I try to incorporate some of it. I do utilize some of the knowledge in Native culture and spirituality to help guide people sometimes. I provide healing through, you know, spirit communication and connection.
Messages of this nature have tremendous value. When we hear a positive message or an affirmation that makes us feel we are loved and supported, it can have powerfully transformative effects. One of the reasons it is so powerful is the peace that it offers us, a sudden moment of clarity, or possibly the belief that we are not alone, that those we feel we have lost are actually very close to us and always will be. Anytime we are given an opportunity to consider something larger and more loving than the space in which we find ourselves, we are given a gift and a new way of seeing. Sean believes that learning to listen to our internal guidance can open us up, fostering our relationship with this healing energy, a connection to the natural world, our own nature, and to the people around us. You're listening to Nature, Therapy, and Beyond with Catherine Skynot. Appreciation to my guest, Sean Leonard of Spirit Talker, for instrumentals provided by Blue Dot Sessions, www.sessions.blue. And to you, thank you for listening.